We're going to unfold the gospel text. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the time of preparation, the time of coming. But before we get into the gospel, let's spend a moment in prayer. Lord Jesus, calm our spirits, quiet our minds, still our hearts, that we might hear you. Give us your ears to hear, your eyes to see. Lord Christ, this season of holy waiting, the season of anticipation and joy and hope as we prepare for your second coming is such a gift, elicits many feelings within us, Lord Christ. Help us to be mindful then today of your reminder to keep watch, to be ready. Lord, may the words then of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have fond memories of high school, and then I have not so fond memories of high school. Sometimes when we look back on our high school years, kind of glorify those days, and I even hear some people think or say out loud, gosh, I wish I was back in high school. I'm not one of those guys. There were things that frightened me in high school. As a freshman, I was frightened of the seniors. I thought I'd be stuffed in a locker or trash can or worse. I was frightened of my volleyball coach who was pretty adamant that we get things right. I was frightened most of my grades. I would remember just stressing over my grades. I wasn't a great student in high school, and my sister was, and we were always being compared to her. But the thing that scared me most about high school, and I can sum it up in two words, and maybe you can relate to this, those two words are pop quiz. Do you remember those? Some of you are getting a little rash that's building up in you, or a little anxiety starting to creep up. Pop quiz. Oh, I hated those. Because inevitably, I wasn't ready. See, a pop quiz presumed that we were keeping up on our studies throughout the week and semester. But I didn't always do that. Do you remember those days? The days of the pop quiz? Today, that's what Jesus is talking about in his gospel. He says to us, in one way or another, be ready at all times. Keep watch, because you never know when there's going to be a pop quiz. Let's look at that text together. We're going to start with a little theology lesson. In verse 36, Jesus is answering a question that the disciples asked way back in this chapter at the very beginning, in chapter 24 and verse 3. The disciples have asked Jesus, tell us when this will happen and what will be the sign of, here it is, your coming and of the end of the age. You see, Jesus has unfolded the plan for the disciples. He said to them that he's going to go to the cross, he's going to have to die and then be raised 3 days later. And he's also communicated to them that he will come back to set things right. He says, in the in-between time, this is the time that we are currently and still living in the in-between time, I'll give you a helper, an advocate, that is the Holy Spirit. But be ready and keep watch, because I will be coming back. And Jesus expected that he would be coming back soon. The coming of Jesus, or better said, the second coming of Jesus, is encapsulated in a Greek word called, pronounced parousia, parousia. And so that word literally means presence, the presence of Christ. It would be the second coming or second presence of Christ, parousia. So in theology world, There's all this talk about the parousia of Jesus, the second coming. And Advent is from, not Greek, but from Latin, meaning to come. So parousia in Greek and Advent in Latin are similar concepts to communicate to us in English the second coming of Jesus. That's why when we celebrate and remember Advent, there's two sides of that celebration and our remembrance of it. The first side is the first coming of Jesus. We're celebrating the coming of Jesus, his presence in the incarnation, that is, God made flesh. And so it's appropriate to sing. We sung this morning, Joy to the World, the Lord has come. And that's true. But the other side of that same coin, we might almost want to sing, Joy to the World, the Lord is also coming again. It doesn't fit really, I guess, but the Lord has come, the Lord is coming again. This is the parousia. This is the Advent which we celebrate. Now, about the parousia, the second coming of Jesus, the second Advent, if you will, we know a lot. The Bible unfolds for us a lot of knowledge about the second coming of Jesus. In fact, we know the what. The what is, he's coming. We know the how. He's not going to come as he came before in a lowly manger. But how is Jesus going to come in the second coming? In glory, in the heavens, from the heavens, from the clouds, with a mighty shout, we see Jesus coming. We know the where. He's coming from the heavens. We know the who. He is coming himself. But you know what we don't know? The when. That's the only thing we don't know about the parousia, the second advent, the coming of Christ at the end of the age. We don't know the when. And so Jesus reminds the disciples, pay attention. Keep watch. Be ready. You see, at the second coming, Jesus said, it will be like those in the time of Noah. And he likens the flood of the time of Noah to his second coming. There were those who were living their lives, we would say today, without a clue. They had no idea what was happening around them. Even though Noah was building this huge ark, they still had no idea why that was happening. But Noah was paying attention. His family was paying attention. But the other people, verse 38, they were eating and drinking. They were marrying and giving in marriage. Now, this doesn't signify anything special necessarily. It simply means they were living everyday, ordinary, normal lives. And we're not so different. The disciples in the time of Jesus were not so different. People were just going along with life as people go along with life. It's normal to not pay attention. It's part of the human condition that we live life unaware. In verse 39, Jesus says about the people in the time of Noah, they knew nothing about what would happen. But guess what? We do. There has been a prescription given to us in Holy Scripture about the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the end of the age. We ought not be surprised to hear these words this morning about the second coming of Jesus, the parousia, the second advent. Because God, in his wisdom and grace and mercy, has said, I will come again. And I will come soon. And so Jesus says, it will be like two people. One will be working at the mill, or two will be working at the mill, two ladies, and one will be taken and the other left. One will be working in the field, and one will be taken and one will be left. There will be a division of humanity. Jesus has talked about this in these illustrations as well. The sheep and the goats. Do you remember that passage? There will be a separation. The wheat and the chaff, there will be a separation. And people will be separated based on whether or not they're paying attention or keeping watch, whether or not they're ready, whether or not they've heard the words of Jesus and taken them to heart. This is the greatest pop quiz ever. And so Jesus says to his friends, he says to them, keep watch. Now this doesn't simply mean that they're looking for Jesus to come back. I mean, when the pop quiz happened, right? We knew it was coming. We saw it when the teacher said, put away your books, put away all of your notes. It's time for a pop quiz. We knew it would be there. But some of us weren't ready for that pop quiz. And Jesus says, you must be prepared for the second coming. You must be ready. This presumes then, the end of the text, that God's people will be faithful, will be righteous, and will be obedient in their living. So let me say that again. When Jesus encourages us to keep watch and to be ready, he means live faithfully, live obediently, live righteously. This is hard to do, isn't it? Because we're wrapped up in our lives. I was with Pastor Corey this morning, as we are every Sunday, and he was asking me how I was doing before we got into prayer, and I said, I am just not doing well. He says, oh, well, what's going on? I said, well, you know, I started this Doctor of Ministry program, and I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get kicked out. He says, oh, come on, you're not going to get kicked out, please. I said, well, this is what's happened. I thought I was ready. I thought I was prepared. I thought I was keeping watch when it came to the program requirements. But I was given an academic advisor at the very beginning of the semester. We're 2 out of 3 months, a little bit over that, 2 out of 3 months into the program. And my lead mentor called and said, guess what? Your academic advisor has quit. Huh? They who? Yep, your academic advisor has quit, and they haven't been giving you the feedback they should be giving you. And I knew that innately as I was putting together my dissertation proposal. It was huge and broad. I knew it had to be narrowed down. But my academic advisor wrote back and said, nah, it looks great. Thinking, no, it doesn't look great. So my lead mentor affirmed that. No, it doesn't look great. So now I have 1 month to do 3 months worth of work. I said, I wasn't ready for that pop quiz. That's okay when it comes to worldly endeavors. Sometimes we're not ready. Sometimes we have to work extra diligently and hard. Sometimes we're taken off guard. But when it comes to the second coming of Christ, we don't want to be the one working in the field unprepared and left. We don't want to be the one sitting at the handmill, unprepared and left. And Jesus gives these words, I believe, because he dearly loves his disciples. He wants his disciples to be with him. He wants them to be ready when he comes back. And you know, here's the interesting thing. Jesus' words are imminent because even he didn't know when he was coming. I think there was a real sense in Jesus that he thought he was going to be coming sooner than it actually turns out. You see, it's imminent for him. He says to them, I don't even know. I don't even know when the Father, only the Father knows when the Father will send me. So be ready. He says, when I come back to you, I want you to be ready that I might take you and not leave you behind. This is the heart of Jesus. This is the heart of a teacher. This is the heart of a Savior. And so how do we do this? I think we would be remiss if we only knew in our minds that we ought to be ready. But how do we prepare? How do we stay prepared? How do we keep watch? Well, Paul helps us because in our text that Kristen read for us from Romans 13, Paul is talking about the parousia, the second coming of Christ, the presence of Christ in the world. So you can pull out your Bibles or turn your bulletins to Romans chapter 13. There are four basic encouragements that Paul gives here. First, he says, follow the commandments. And he's talking about the Ten Commandments here. He's left out the first three. The first three have to do with loving God and our relationship with Him. And so those are lived out in a loving relationship with us and God. But Paul uses these others to talk about our relationship with each other. Do not covet. Do not commit adultery. These are all relational commandments. In fact, all ten of them are when you look at the Ten Commandments. And he says, in order to fulfill these relational requirements, you have to do what? It's one thing. In fact, all of the, says Paul, all of the commandments that are relational this way are fulfilled with what? Love. Live lovingly. Love your neighbor as yourself. In fact, that's what Jesus said, if we remember. There was a Pharisee that came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, what's the greatest of all the commandments?" And Jesus gave him the question back, "Well, what is it?" And he says, "Well, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength." And Jesus says, "Yes, that's it, and there's another like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." And so Jesus said, in those two commandments, all of the law, all of the prophets are fulfilled. It's a like concept here in Paul. And so we are to fulfill the law by loving each other. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8a, talks about what love is. It's patient. Love is kind. Love is not boastful. Love does not envy. Love is the gift of giving another their best interests. If you think about this, that's really what love is. You know, I sit down with many couples. I did a wedding just on this last Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I don't know what it is about holidays. People like to get married around holidays. Last year it was 4th of July and Memorial Day. So I hadn't done one around Thanksgiving, so have you, Corey? Yeah, so we just wanted to put Thanksgiving as a possibility. If you're looking to get married, Thanksgiving's a good time, apparently. And I remember telling Mark and Tracy, I said, here's what's going to make your marriage work. Love. And when I say love, I mean like from Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 kind of love. There, Paul says, look after the other's best interests. Put their interests above your own. I said to Mark, if you put Tracy's interests above your own, you will love her. I said, Tracy, if you put Mark's interests above your own, you will be loving him. And guess what? All your needs will be met. Mark's needs will be met, and Tracy's needs will be met in Mark. And so too, we live with the other's best interests in mind. And so how do we live keeping watch, loving one another and loving God? Number two, we put aside the deeds of darkness and we put on the armor of light. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, Paul talks about the armor of God. And that's what we're talking about. We're living in that in-between space. The already fulfilled kingdom in the person and work of Jesus and the not yet fully fulfilled and established kingdom of God through the person and work of Jesus Christ in his second coming. There's a constant battle here, we know, between light and dark. In fact, moment by moment, we're encouraged to live our lives in the light and put aside darkness. Number three, Paul says, in regard to the second coming of Christ, basically, behave decently. Put aside all the sexual immorality and the debauchery and the rest. Behave decently. You see, actions matter. Not for the sake of salvation. Paul's really clear about that in Ephesians chapter 2. That we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. But when it comes to spiritual living, when it comes to sanctification, when it comes to discipleship, when it comes to holy living, the after salvation, after we are justified, actions matter. In fact, James said, faith is dead without works. Not for the sake of salvation, but for the sake of sanctification, of Christian living and discipleship. And so Paul says, behave decently. Don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well, using the words of James. And then lastly, and most importantly, I would say, Paul says, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. In the end, then, it turns out that it is all about Jesus. And you know what you do when you clothe yourself. You put on Jesus. You wrap yourself in Jesus. And Jesus wraps himself around you. To clothe Jesus is to live in such a way that you are one with him in body and mind and soul and spirit. To clothe yourself with Jesus is to put all of the clothing of the world behind you. It's like flipping through your closet. No, that's worldly, that's worldly, that's worldly. Here it is. My Christ clothes. And I'm not talking about special underwear. But my Christ clothes. To clothe, to don, to put on Jesus every day. You can hear the heart of this teacher when he says to the disciples, keep watch, be ready. I don't know when I'm coming back. Nobody knows except for the Father. And there's going to be a sorting. I'm going to leave some behind, but I want to take you. I want to take you, and I want to take you. This is what Advent is about, isn't it? Remembering, yes, of course, the coming of the Lord in the manger, the incarnation, the God made flesh. But all the more important, we must remember the parousia, the presence, the advent, the second coming of Christ in glory to save his people. I want to close with a liturgical piece. If you have your bulletins, let's turn back to page 2. Pastor Corey led us in this liturgical piece. This isn't a surprise to us, the second coming of Jesus, the celebration of Advent, because in our greeting to one another and to Pastor Corey, we remembered that we are to keep watch. And so let's do this again. With knowledge and power, like we really mean it. Remember, friends, this is the season of holy waiting.
Wait for the one who will open up the heavens and come down to save us.
And we watch for the day when God's name will be made known among the nations.
We wait in the shadows for the light of the world to appear.
Come then, let us walk in the light of God. Amen.